standing, if we could stand. It is so great to have Brother and Sister Miller with us here this weekend and ministering. Sister Miller spoke Friday night and Saturday at our ladies' conference and just did a tremendous job. And I want to thank you so very much for just being so open and transparent, ministering to our ladies. And Brother Miller, it's great to have Brother Marcus Miller here, and he's going to come and he's going to preach to us this morning. God bless you, brother.
Love you. Appreciate you. Make yourself at home, brother.
Amen. Praise the Lord, saints. Praise the Lord. Are you glad to be in the house of God? All right, come on, somebody. We got a lot of people in here. Are you glad to be in the house of the Lord? Amen. We can celebrate all kinds of other things. We've got a lot of sports teams playing sports and a lot of noise is being made in the stadiums. But I wonder if there's somebody that don't mind making noise for the glory of God. We've sung all the songs that we sang this morning about how good God is. But is there somebody that don't mind lifting up your voice and giving God the praise? God, I glorify and magnify your name. Hallelujah. We serve a great God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I am so, so excited. You may be seated for a moment. They told me I was supposed to be singing, so I guess I'll attempt to do that in just a moment. But thank you so much for having us here on today. What a beautiful facility that you have, the church here. I mean, it's a wonderful church. We had a chance to kind of take a tour, and so it's awesome. Amen, what God has done. Amen. Such an awesome thing. I'm going to take some time, if you don't mind. I'll make a transition here and see if I can figure out this keyboard, and we'll sing a song here in just a moment. Amen. Praise God. I'm glad that the mic is just my height. There are advantages to being short. There are just not as many as those who are tall. Just a simple song. This is my desire. Said I worship you, oh,
Jesus. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake, yeah. When I get up in the morning, Lord, have your way in me. Lord, I give you my heart. How many people feel that way? I give you my soul. Hallelujah, take all of me. I live for you. I live with you alone. And every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake. Hallelujah, Jesus. What I want you to do, Lord, is have your way in me. When I get up in the morning, Lord, have your way in me. When I'm going about on my job from place to place, Lord, have your way in me. Even when I'm walking through the supermarket, Lord, have your way in me. When I walk through the front door of my home and things don't seem right, Lord, have your way in me. When everybody else seems to be against me, Lord, have your way in me. And you know what else? When everybody else seems to be doing the wrong thing, Lord, have your, hey, have your way, Lord, in me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory, 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 glory. That's what I want. I just want him to have his way in my life. I can't worry about anybody else and what everybody else is doing. I know what the world is doing. I know what everybody else is doing, but I want God to have his way in my life. Hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. I don't want to jump the gun, so I do want to give thanks and honor to God again for being here. Thank you, Pastor and Sister Grant, for having us here. I remember the first time I met them, and it was in a hotel room that we actually conversed, and they were actually visiting my in-laws, and I was just the third wheel. And we had a good time of fellowship there. And Brother and Sister Brown, thank you so much for bringing us here. Bishop, so good to see Bishop here today. I mean, God is amazing. You know, to find out that the man was in the hospital just last night, and look at what God has done. Amen. Praise God. I was excited when I seen him walk through those doors. Amen. Praise God. But so glad. Thank you so much for having us here. To the ministry team of the church, who, based upon my observation, are doing such a phenomenal job in the work of the Lord. Amen. So many things have been said about what's going on here. I tell you what, it is a true reflection of God's divine favor. What we see here, the souls that are here, the ministries that are happening, the things that are going on with the facility, all these things that are happening, bus ministry, you name it, things are going on, a absolute reflection of God's divine favor. Amen. So we need to give God a hand clap of praise. Awesome. Awesome. To all the wonderful saints of God, family, friends, guests, and anyone else I might have missed, God bless you for being here and inviting us to come and share this moment with you in the house of the Lord. So I presume that your hospitality toward us is a direct reflection of how you treat everyone you come in contact with. Therefore, I'm not surprised by how much God continues to pour out his blessings upon Calvary Gospel Church. Amen. But we greet you in the name of Jesus Christ from Calvary Apostolic Church in La Crosse, Wisconsin. I'm thankful for my pastor allowing me the opportunity to be able to come here and to share this time with y'all. I am trying to be aware of the time here because I know there are some other things that's going to be happening, so I'll be mindful of that. And I will try to behave myself today. Amen. Many of you already met my wife, who I've been told had done a great job ministering to the ladies these past couple of days. Amen. And I am so glad. I was really excited when she had the opportunity because it was a confirmation of what God has already been putting in place. Amen. So I was glad about that. And I'm glad that God joined us together. So yes, we do have six children. And God has given us a reason to take a mini vacation without them here. So my wife and I and my children, thank you for that. They are having a great time with their grandparents in La Crosse, and God has truly been good to us. I don't plan on being before you long. I know you've heard great preaching, and I am just here to share a little bit about what I believe God has given me. So if you could be attentive to the word of God, now we will stand. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, we will begin with verse 3, and we will read to verse 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 6. And when you have it, say amen. Paul says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience," look at this part, "when your obedience is fulfilled." May God add a blessing to the reading of his word, and may he orchestrate every word that proceeds from my lips today. God bless you. You may be seated. The weapons of our warfare, Paul says, are not carnal. They're not fleshly. They're not earthly. But they are mighty through who? God. To the pulling down of strongholds. If you're paying attention to what's going on, our nation is currently fighting a war against terrorism. Our military forces continue to train and disperse American troops to some of the most dangerous locations throughout the globe. And this war has lasted for over 5 years. And I thank God for all of the military men and women who have and currently serve to preserve the freedoms of the American people and others worldwide. But there is a war that transcends our earthly conflicts. What we see going on around us, we haven't scratched the surface to what's really going on. Someone said it well when it says there's more than meets the eye. There's a war that threatens you and I, and it's not the flesh, but it is our soul. Amen. It's a war that transcends the earthly conflicts. It involves something more than severe. It's more severe than firearms and artillery and explosive devices. It's not physical, but spiritual. Satan and his evil forces have declared war on our spiritual freedom. They have declared war on our youth. They have declared war on our families. They have declared war on the church. And no one is exempt from this warfare. But with this knowledge, we need to ask ourselves this question: am I ready to fight? Are you ready for war? And that is what I want to talk to you today about. Ready for war. A lot of people want to fight, but they are not really ready to fight the battle. In order to prepare for war, we must ensure that we go through a spiritual transformation. We've already said it, that it's not carnal, but it is spiritual. So in order for you to even begin to engage in spiritual warfare, you've got to experience a transformation. How do you experience this transformation? It's not anything that you do on your own, but when you submit your life to Christ,
God begins to do something in your life. We talk about repentance and we talk about baptism in the name of Jesus Christ and receiving the Holy Ghost. You've got to understand that that is necessary before you can even begin to engage in this spiritual warfare. Because without that transformation, you have no leg to stand on. That means you are vulnerable to the enemy and you're going to be quickly destroyed. Amen. But to repent means to turn around. Amen. That's what the word repent means, to do an about face. So when we repent, that means we turn from all the wicked things of the world. We turn away from all the sin. It is a literal forsaking of the things of the world. Do you understand that sin really is a violation to God? That's what sin is. It's not an animate object. It doesn't have a specific personality all its own. It's when you make a decision to do something that is contrary to God, that is what sin is. Amen. And so sin, we know the wages of sin is what? Death. Amen. So in order to live, I've got to turn away from the things of the world. I've got to turn from sin. And being baptized in the name of Jesus is so awesome. Because when you go down in the water and you come up, those of you who have experienced it already, you know it's a washing away of all those things that contaminated your life. Isn't it good to know that God can wipe the record clean, wipe the slate clean? It's awesome to know that you can have a fresh start in God. It doesn't matter who you come in contact with that will remind you of all the crazy things that you used to do, but to know that with God, He started you fresh, He started you free, and now you can go on living in Him. Receiving the Holy Ghost is the essential thing in the plan of salvation. It's all necessary. But if you don't have the Holy Ghost, you don't have power. Because Acts 1 and 8 tells me, ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is what? Come upon you. And then you'll be witnesses of me wherever you go. But you've got to receive the Holy Ghost in order to receive that power. There's so many folks that's trying to fight this warfare, this spiritual warfare. They're trying to do good and they got good things going on in their life. But until you have the Holy Ghost, you have no means of defense against the enemy. Fight as you may, gotta have the Holy Ghost. Because power comes with the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost is the Spirit of God dwelling inside of you. It's not just Him hovering anymore. You don't get a distant review of what God is doing, but He's doing it inside. Did anybody? Do you understand what that means? That means that something takes place inside of you. Did you hear what Paul says? He says, we're more than conquerors. Well, if you want to be a conqueror, it starts on the inside. Let's talk about on the inside then. The first thing you have to figure out when you're talking about preparing for war, you got to find out, have you made up your mind? Somebody wrote a book, says the battlefield of the mind. The war we fight begins in the individual mind. In approaching this spiritual warfare, you must realize that Satan fights dirty. That's the only way he knows how to fight. You ever had somebody fight dirty? You didn't expect it to come. You didn't know where it was coming from, but they just knocked you upside the head. You didn't see it coming. They caught you unprepared. And that's how the enemy desires to do, to catch you unaware. But regardless of his tactics, remember that the enemy has already been defeated. Isn't it interesting that we have so many people losing their minds, trying to do what's right, trying to find themselves, trying to find solutions and answers, trying to overcome the enemy, and he's already defeated. Oh, see, let me tell you what that means. When you're in warfare with the enemy, there's nothing you really have to worry about because the battle is already over. See, this is where it starts. Because if I'm not convinced, I'll be defeated every time. He fights dirty. His intent is to make sure you are not convinced about the victory you already have through God. Are y'all getting this? We go through our situations like God is surprised we're going through stuff. Like he's trying to figure it out as we go through. Well, that didn't work. When the Bible tells me all things work together for the good to them that... It starts in the mind. Did you know that's why Paul says, and be ye transformed by the renewing. You can't come into this thing with the same mindset. You can't come in here with a slave-like mentality and expect to overcome the enemy. Somewhere along the line, you've got to start declaring in your mind that I am more than a conqueror through him. This is why he says you got to study. This is why you have to search the scriptures. This is why you have to get in the Word of God. If you fill your mind with junk and filth, you won't ever see it coming. Oh, entertainment industry has done a great job in distracting. You know how many times we talk about the young people being distracted by the multimedia, but it ain't just the young people no more. Mothers and fathers so captivated in TV series. Just a bunch of junk. And because they're so captivated, they don't realize the enemy creeping in on their children. And so things are coming in the atmosphere in the home and things start to happen. And all of a sudden it blows up and it's like, well, I don't know what happened. Where was your mind? Paul says, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, he tells you what to think on. Whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report. You stop listening to the enemy and all his lies about what your life is supposed to be and start listening to what God has already made it to be. I'm just trying to encourage y'all. If you're trying to win in this spiritual warfare, I don't care how big and bad you think you are. The devil ain't afraid of you. But when you start getting the things of God inside of you, the enemy takes notice. I think back on Exodus chapter 1 where it lets me know that Pharaoh started looking at the children of Israel. And the Bible lets me know that he didn't know Joseph and the rest of them that passed on by. But he took notice of the Israelites. And one of the things that he noticed was that they were more number and they were outnumbered and they had more strength. He says they overpower us. He talks to his people and he says, man, they're stronger than us and they have more population than what we have. He says we got to do something to subject them to our leadership, because if not, if somebody comes along and fights against us, maybe they'll turn on us. Can I tell you that the enemy recognizes your potential? It wasn't anything that the Israelites had done, but it was just by virtue of who they were and the potential that they had. They hadn't done anything. They hadn't turned on Egypt. But the Egyptian Pharaoh realized that if I let them continue to grow, if I don't try to do something about this, they're going to turn and they may just overtake us. Do you not know that the enemy is throwing so much hell your way because he recognized the potential of what God is trying to do in your life? It may not be where you are right now, but understand that there's something in your life that the enemy takes note of, and God is trying to bring you to that point. And because the enemy knows what God is trying to do, he's threatened by what he sees. And so he keeps trying to throw things your way. He keeps trying to throw sickness your way. He keeps trying to throw other temptations your way. But let me let you know right now that the battle is already won. in this warfare, we don't have to guess about it. It's already done, and we are victorious in him. You need to clap and praise God just knowing that the battle is already won. I am victorious in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The enemy's intent is to destroy you. He wants to make you bound. He wants to make you hopeless and defeated. It doesn't take much to look around our society, and we have a lot of people who are hopeless, who feel defeated. They feel like they can't get ahead in life. But before he can accomplish this, he has to deceive you, which means you have to be convinced of something false. Do you not know that every time you entertain the enemy's lies, it is taking away from what God is trying to establish in your life? Oh, the enemy says, yeah, you can't be saved. Your life can't change. You'll always be a drug addict. You'll always be an alcoholic. But I say the devil is a liar. God has already established it. He knew you would be here today. So whatever it is that the enemy is telling you, you need to shut your ears to the enemy and start listening to the voice of God. But before he can deceive you, he has to entice you, which means to be tempted or seduced. I want you to understand something. In the beginning, we look at the story of Adam and Eve in the garden. And I always reference this story, but it's important to take notice. You know, the conversation happens between Eve and the serpent, but did you notice that the serpent could not make Eve partake of the fruit? He did everything he could to entice her, but he could not force her. Let me tell you why he couldn't force her to do it. Because God had already set something in place. He says, when I make my people in my image, I'm going to give them the ability to choose. Look at this, y'all. The God that we serve, listen now, God that we serve is so powerful, right? Oh, he can do anything. But let me ask you something. When you're living in your mess, did God make you turn toward him? What's the point? If God himself can reverence his own doing, then what makes you think that the enemy has more power than God to force you to do something? God has given you the ability to choose. You know what that means? That's powerful. He's given you an ability to make a decision. That's why you can choose to be in mess, or you can choose to go ahead and give your life to Christ. When you make up in your mind, that's what I want to do, God begins to show you, he begins to manifest himself in your life. The enemy can't force you to do anything. If you've ever heard that lie, please understand, the devil can't make you do it. He can be on your track all he wants, but if you have made up in your mind, I am determined to live for God, I'm sold out to God, I'm not deviating, I'm not compromising, I'm not throwing in the towel, I'm ready for war, and my focus is on the Lord. Now, there's something you got to do. You want to be successful in this warfare, you got to make up in your mind whose side you're on. Whose side are you fighting on? If you think that you come to the house of God and then go back into the world and you dib and dab and you think that you're going to get somewhere, please understand you are only doing this to your own destruction. You know what the Bible says about a person that can't make up their mind? A double-minded man. Why we got so many folks that are unstable in their lifestyle, can't keep a marriage. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I? can't keep a job, can't pick a church. I need a church that suits my needs. I don't need a church that's going to preach the truth. I need somebody that's going to make me feel good. If you in a church that's just appealing to your feelings, you might want to run up out of there. Because at the end of the day, the whole purpose is to save your soul. I say this, and I've said this before. A sinner, God bless any of you that, you know, you first time here. You know, I'm not the pastor, I'm not the bishop, and, you know, you got the man of God here in the ministry team. But I will tell you this, I believe this. If you are a sinner and you don't intend on changing, you should feel uncomfortable in the church. I didn't say if you were a sinner and you looking for hope. I didn't say if you was a sinner and you were looking for salvation. But if you a sinner and you don't intend on changing, you should be uncomfortable. Joshua says in chapter 24, he talks to the Israelites. They came out of Egypt and he presents this to the people. Apparently they had some issues when they left Egypt. Their mindset still hadn't changed. Do you not know they still spent 40 years in the wilderness just because God was trying to get them to change their mindset? But Joshua says, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord." I love this verse. "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord," he says, "you make the choice. Choose ye this day whom ye will serve." If you want to serve the gods that were on the other side of the floods that your father served, that's your decision. Or are you going to serve God? But I will let you know that regardless of what you do, I have already determined and made up in my mind that as for me and my house, we will serve. If you want a difference in your home, you just need to start declaring, "As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord." Oh, come on. Y'all got to take this serious now. Do you know what that means? You start kicking demons out of there. Every time they try to kick a ruckus, you start kicking them out and giving them eviction notice and let them know you're not welcome here anymore. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I'm not worried about what everybody else is doing and what you think about it, but as for me and my house, I choose to serve the Lord. Oh, it may not be popular, but I wasn't looking for popularity to begin with. See, I love living this life, not because somebody makes me. I love living this life not because I get opportunities to come preach places, but I love living this life because I know what God has done in me. If I could tell you where God has brought me from, I'm so glad that He saved my life, rescued me from where I was, and brought me to the place that I'm at right now. And that's why I serve Him. I love it. Paul says in Romans chapter 6, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are, to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were once the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed," look at that word, "obedience." You have obeyed from where? I'm just going to jump right down to the second point. What are you fighting with? What are you fighting with? You know the Bible says in Ephesians 6 that you have an armor. It says we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Let me ask you something. Why is it so easy for folks to just do one another wrong? We are living in a society, we've got so much mess going on. in our society. And you see it, you hear the news, you hear about all the racial, you know, all the things that have been said about raciality and all that other stuff. But I wonder, aside from that, in the church, because the world is looking for hope, and then the church is supposed to have hope. But if the world comes into the church and they find no hope, then are we relevant as a church anymore? We can't get folks delivered because we're too busy talking about sister and brother so-and-so. I can't stand when such and such happened. I'm sorry, I'm not really trying to step on, I'm not trying to overstep my bounds here. But if we're going to be a church, we got to get over our little petty things and start focusing on what's important. The salvation of souls. I am amazed at how many folks can't get along because of race in the body of Christ. I love to see this mixture here in the body of Christ. This is the way it's supposed to be. You got folks speaking different languages, all kinds of things happening here. That's the way it's supposed to be. Folks can't get along because you wear red and I don't like red. We don't represent no gangs in here. If you was a former crypt, you've been delivered, I hope. I like KFC. I don't like Popeyes. Well, let's just get over it, because at the end of the day, when we come here, we're trying to save souls. Now, listen, y'all laughing, but you'll be surprised. Petty things that's keeping, somebody asked, well, why we can't experience the miracles that we used to experience? Read the book of Acts and find out what they were doing. They weren't bickering and fighting about dumb stuff. You know what they were doing? They were going from house to house and fellowshipping, breaking bread, continuing steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. This is the stuff that they were doing. That's why they could see the miracles performed. You better not approach the demon the wrong way with the wrong attitude. They're going to call you out. Ephesians chapter 6 lets us know. He says, you're fighting against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. But look what he says, y'all. Wherefore, take unto you. You can't put everything on and leave your helmet. The helmet is what's going to help protect your mind. It's going to help protect your eyes. Got some folks say, well, it ain't, you know, ain't no harm in looking. If you're not looking unto Jesus, you might want to watch what you're looking at. The helmet of salvation is what's going to help you stay focused. Shield of faith. You know what the shield of faith does? When the enemy starts shooting his fiery darts, you know what's beautiful about it? That shield is strong enough. You might catch a little residue from it, but you don't catch the direct impact of it. It's God that's taking the impact, and he just allows you to feel a little bit just so you know your faith is being built. Every time something comes my way, I keep putting that faith out there. I don't know how I'm going to get through this, but I keep putting my faith out there. I'm not going to be destroyed. This faith is going to protect me. One of these times, I'm going to make it through. Feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Are you a busybody? You always and everybody, you know, social media just
All right, I'm gonna leave this alone. I'm really not trying to misbehave. I'm really not. Well, as a child of God, Bishop, Pastor, I understand if y'all don't have me speak tonight. As a child of God, you know, social media is not bad in and of itself. It's a good means of communication, staying connected. But if you are stirring up mess, you got some folks just post anything. Me and my husband just had an argument. You need to be on your knees and praying, not putting your business out there on Facebook. And you got somebody else you don't even know requesting a friend to be your friend so they can talk about your husband, how messed up he is. Child, you right. I don't even use Facebook. Having on the breastplate of righteousness, keeping your heart right. Can I tell you something? One of the things that's damaging a lot of people is that they're coming in the house of God and you say you're looking for hope. Can I encourage you with something? If the Word of God says it, whether you truly understand it or not, somewhere along the line, you just have to make up in your mind, if you really want to change, well, I'm going to do this because it's right. Do you not know that the more you store what's right in your heart, the transformation begins? Some things you can't articulate in vocabulary. Some things, I always tell people, I told the young people before, you know, you look in the Bible and there's nothing in there that's going to say, thou shalt not go to clubs. I looked. It's not in there. But when you have things like don't let your good be evil spoken of. You know, and I know the outreach and so on and so forth. You better make sure it's God leading you into that club because you may not come out the way you. I've done it. I'll tell you. If you ain't going in there with God leading you, you might not come out with your right mind. But just because it doesn't say something verbatim, please understand that the Word of God is not confined to just the words in the 66 books of the Bible. Hear what I'm saying? Verbally, vocabulary, you may not see the verbiage written in there verbatim, but I guarantee you that there's always a scripture to address every aspect of life and what we should be doing. Guarantee you, the principles are in there. But you know what makes a difference? You. Do you want hope or don't you? Do you want to change or don't you? Because if you don't want to change, you do just like a lot of those other debaters. I hate debates. Because you're already convinced of what you believe. But if you got an open heart and you're willing to receive what God has for you, you'll see it. God will reveal it to you. But just because you don't understand it right away, if it's in there, take a chance. Let me ask you, what are you going to lose? What do you lose by trying God at His Word? I guarantee you, you won't lose anything. All right, I got to hurry up here. But you got to wear the armor of God. Like I told my wife before, we was teaching, you know, One of the things you never want to do, you put on that armor, don't ever take it off. In the military, we go out and we go, you know, you get deployed and, you know, we have to wear our armor in those areas because they're dangerous areas and you never know what's going to break out, so on and so forth. So we have to keep that on. Some of us, we sleep in it because at any point in time, you may have to get up and you may have to react. You can never afford to take off the armor of God. Any part of the armor, everything that God gives you, you better keep, especially that sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Keep the Word of God. But understand, if they come and they take the Bibles away, they shouldn't be able to take the Word of God away because what did David say? Thy word have I. Are you storing it? Or is it just on the shelf and you just look at it every now and then to make yourself feel better? Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not. Is this all right? The third thing you've got to assess is, are you properly positioned? The question is not referring to a title or physical location, but your positioning has everything to do with the condition of your heart. Jeremiah 17 and 9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You got a world giving you those nice frilly songs that says, just follow your heart. Just believe in yourself. And some of you know that's what got you in the mess you in now. Because I followed my heart. Because I followed my heart, I got into a relationship that did not last. I'm not being ugly. But because I followed my heart, I found myself in and out of church. I found myself compromising. I found myself giving myself over to abuse and misuse and everything else that the enemy wanted to do. Because I followed my heart. And the problem was I didn't have God in my heart. Anytime you are following your heart and God is not the center of your heart, you can be sure it will lead you to a mess. But this is all part of the warfare that we fight, y'all. Casualties is what we call them in the military. And we've got spiritual casualties because of issues like this. The heart is deceitful. Proverbs 23 and 7 says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Keep thy heart, Solomon says in Proverbs 4, with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of, y'all hear that? Out of it are the issues. So we got all kinds of issues because of the heart of man. But Colossians 3 and 2, Paul says, set your affections on things above. Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. But I love what David says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. At the end of the day, your positioning has to do with the condition of your heart. What's at the center of your heart? Is it God, or maybe it's just money? Folks are looking for love. And I hate to make it sound like the song, but in all the wrong places. We got young people who have been mortified time and time again, trying out somebody. Our young ladies just giving themselves over to boys, thinking that they love them. Let me tell you something. If that young man is not focused on God, he don't care nothing about you. Is that all right? I got to check because, you know. And it's the same thing. And if, please, if you believe that you can help somebody, well, if I get in a relationship and I just marry them, maybe I can save them. You are setting yourself up. Because if you couldn't save them before that you got married, Where's your heart? He was teaching, talking about the power of Christian witnessing. And do you not know that the heart, you know, the body is the temple, right? And I look at the heart as your sanctuary. Well, you know, not everything can go on in the sanctuary. You come in the sanctuary, it's supposed to be treated a certain way, right? So what about the sanctuary of your heart? Everybody likes to use that term. God don't look on the outward appearance. He looks at the heart. Right. What's in it? What is in it? And the fourth thing is, are you focused? Philippians 3, chapter 12, chapter 3 and verses 12 through 14. Paul talks about apprehending. He says, not as though I've already attained, but he says, either were perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. He says, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things. Y'all see what he said? Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before. How much of your past are you still holding on to? Your past is not your identity. Do you realize that when God created you, and he sees you for what he created you to be? So regardless of where your position is right now, God still sees you for what he created you to be. Some folks ain't preaching because they don't feel like they could ever be a preacher because they've done so much in the past. But your past is not your identity. Some folks are afraid to witness to other people because there's just so much history. You know what I love about history? You can close the book on history. But history right now is in the making. So what they gonna read about it now? You looking in the past, but God is still trying to bring you somewhere else. And the moment you let go of the past and say, God, regardless of what happened in the past, if you're willing to forget about it, forgive me and forget about it, then I'm willing to let it go too. And I'm reaching forth into those things which are before. He says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling. You know what that means? Pressing. Sometimes it's going to be difficult. Sometimes it's going to be hard. Sometimes you're going to feel like the weight of the world is on your shoulders. Sometimes you're going to feel like everybody else is against you. But regardless of what's happening, you need to keep on pressing. If the wind is blowing, you need to keep on pressing. If everything is coming against you and the storms is coming down, you need to keep on pressing. The enemy is against you, trying to push you back. But you need to keep on pressing. And how do you press? Sometimes you just got to get down on your knees and say, God, give me the strength to go on one more step. Here it is. I may not be able to take a big step like you, but if I could just get one more step, if I can just keep on going, I'm not willing to give up and I'm not willing to throw in the towel. I got to stay in the fight. This warfare is about your soul, but God has already won the battle. So if you keep on pressing, one of these times you're going to get to your victory. If you keep on pressing, God is going to bring you to the place where he's trying to get you. Keep on pressing. Don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. Don't compromise. Don't sit down, but keep on pressing forward. God is trying to bring you somewhere. Now is the time. Said, I'm ready for war because God has given me everything I needed. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. Are you ready for war today? You've been down long enough. You've been beat up long enough. You've accepted the lies of the enemy long enough. But now it's time to take a stand. I'm looking at a host of people right now that God has so much potential in. God has invested something in you. But you got to make up in your mind, this is what I want. For God I live, and for God I'll die. It doesn't matter what comes my way. Doesn't matter how hard it gets.
Doesn't matter what happened in the past. Doesn't matter what I think I can do or what the enemy's telling me I can do. If I believe it and if I just get myself lined up with God, God is going to bring me through. If I can just stand in the strength of God. Did you hear what the word of God says? I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. There's nothing too hard for God to do. I know you might be weak and you might be ready to give up, but if you just hold on to the master's hand, he's going to bring you through. And after a while, he's going to bring you out. Hold on and don't let go. God is going to bring you through. Hallelujah. Somebody rejoice about what God is doing. Hey. Woo, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You've been going through the motions long enough. You've been sitting in the same pew, coming to service after service, but nothing has changed in your life. But I want to let you know that God is here right now, and he's here to let you know that everything that the enemy has said about you, everything that the enemy has done to destroy you, it's not so. He says you already got victory. You already made more than a conqueror, and it's all through Jesus Christ. If you can just get a hold of what God has given you, if you can put on your armor, put on that helmet of salvation, it's not meant for you to be destroyed. He's already said, I'm not willing that any should be destroyed, but that every soul should come to repentance. God is not willing for you to die. God is not willing for you to stay in the mess that you're in. But wherever your life is right now, now is the time to take a stand. If God has called you to be the church, now is the time to be the church. If God has called you to do a work, now is the time to do the work. In your home, you need to start declaring, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Whatever it is that's going on, make up in your mind, I'm living for God. I'm going to do this thing. I'm going to go forward. I'm going to press forward. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, if you're ready for war, come on, you got to step out your comfort zone. Hallelujah. I need all the altar workers. Wherever you are, come on up front. We got some folks that want to list in God's army. We got some folks that are ready for war. Hallelujah.
Shaken, we will not be moved. Jesus, you are.